You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. It's time for our weekly catch-up with Labor MP Shannon Halbert.
The government's Employment Relations Amendment Bill has passed its third and final reading. The bill has been criticised by the Labor Party, with MP Camilla Balich saying it eroded the rights of employees that the government was alleging to support. The government has revealed the first ever National Infrastructure Plan. The report sets out 16 key recommendations as well as 10 priority areas for the next decade. And the Salvation Army has released its annual State of the Nation report for 2026. The report shows a decrease in victims of violent crime, but an increase in victims of family violence. The latest reporting on child poverty from 2024 also shows the situation has worsened since previous years. For our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party, I spoke to MP Shannon Halbert about all of these topics. I started by asking for his thoughts on the Employment Relations Members Bill.
Well, this bill further erodes the rights of workers. It takes New Zealand workers back decades. And, you know, this is an ongoing theme from this government in attacking workers' rights.
Chris Hipkins says this law change would drive workers to Australia. Is that something you agree with?
Well, definitely. If people don't see the rights of workers recognised here in Aotearoa, then they will choose to go somewhere else where they're better looked after, better paid, their conditions are better. And what we're seeing from this government and Christopher Luxon is that they're making workers' rights and conditions worse.
But does there need to be more clarity surrounding who is an employer versus contractor?
No, there doesn't. It's very clear in law of what is a contractor and what is an employee. What this bill does is it erodes the rights of workers to be reflected as so and pushes people to be contractors, which creates less responsibility and obligations on the employer, and that's unfair.
And moving on, are you supportive of the National Infrastructure Plan?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. People will know that New Zealand suffers from an incredible infrastructure deficit. We haven't invested in the way that we've needed to over decades. So as a result, you know, we see below the ground our water infrastructure isn't where it needs to be. And above the ground, our transport infrastructure isn't able to cope with the population growth that we've had. Saying that, there are political choices in there that determines what the priorities are. We've seen this government invest way too heavily in roads and not enough in public transport in Auckland, for example. So those are decisions that have to be ironed out.
Are there any specific recommendations missing that you would have liked to see included?
A larger focus on public transport is incredibly important. We still see large investment in roads. I'm unsure if that's the direction of travel, so to speak, that New Zealand should be going in. We need to be future-focused. Saying that, it is incredibly expensive. The project of the additional harbour crossing, for example, is desperately needed, but that comes with a significant price tag. We've got to ask the question to Aucklanders, how will we pay for that? I'm not so keen on there being two additions of tolls on both bridges, but that's an important conversation that we must have.
The report notes that climate change is one reason that building and maintaining infrastructure is so expensive. Does this point to a need for investment in climate adaptation?
It certainly does. We need to focus on addressing the weather events, looking after communities and protecting infrastructure. As we've seen in recent weeks and over the past couple of years, when weather events hit, they hit hard and they hit fast, and our infrastructure hasn't been able to keep up. So we need to invest up front in future-proofing local infrastructure that cares for our communities.
And I want to ask now about the Salvation Army's State of the Nation report, which shows family violence is at its highest since 2018. How alarming is this to you?
Incredibly alarming. In my community in Auckland's North Shore, we've seen the closure of the North Shore Women's Centre. It was the one provider over there where women could access support during domestic violence. And so you know, that's incredibly hard that the government have turned their backs on both this, also on addressing homelessness, also addressing some of the needs of children in poverty, which this report explicitly outlines.
On that point, children in material hardship, the number of children in material hardship has increased, with 70,000 of these children being Māori. Why do you think this is?
Well, we've seen this government make big promises around the cost of living. They haven't. In fact, they've made things more expensive, and as a result, it pushes more families, including working families, into poverty. That impacts on our tamariki, on our kids, their ability to go to school, the resources that they need. And this government just doesn't let up. They're not focused on those that need support. They're focused on tobacco companies and landlords.
The Child Poverty Action Group says what is needed to combat poverty is benefit increases. Is this something you can commit to?
We'll outline our policy commitments before the election. But under Labor, we know that we will care for those that are vulnerable. We will focus on supporting children that live in poverty. But we'll also ensure that dignity of these people is upheld. And so, you know, we haven't seen that under this government. And leadership in this country actually needs to represent valuing all New Zealanders, not just those at the top.
A huge driving factor for these levels of poverty is also the increasing levels of unemployment. What would Labor do to increase employment opportunities, particularly for disadvantaged groups?
Absolutely. I've been focused on raising awareness around New Zealand on the government's failure, where we see 90,000 young people not engaged in education, training or employment. This is the size of a city like Tauranga. These young people are being left behind, and they're only one particular group that is suffering the impacts of this government's choices, economic choices, which means that they're out of a job and there's no hope moving forward under Christopher Luxon's leadership.
That was Labor MP Shannon Halbert on the Employment Relations Amendment Bill, the National Infrastructure Plan and the Salvation Army's State of the Nation report.
That was our weekly chat with Labor MP Shannon Halbert. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.